Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. The Soul of Business with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Soul of Business on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. Today we look at the rehabilitation and reintegration of former inmates back into society to give us some insight into how design thinking and a 20-day program offers potential and opportunity. Joining us to tell us more is Daryl Lim, the founder and managing partner of Design Thinkers Academy Singapore. Daryl, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for inviting me to the show.
It's our pleasure, really. And, you know, this is a topic of conversation that while some of us actually think about, might read about a little bit in the newspaper, it isn't top of reference for us. So I'm looking forward to you giving us a better understanding. So give us that better understanding of how DTA works with Agape to help former inmates rehabilitate.
Well, this happened kind of like about 2 years ago, where the founders of Agape, Connecting People, as well as ourselves, we met up in one of our classes, actually. And I think that was where we started to discover the alignment between their mission, which is providing equal opportunities, and our values. Our values very much evolve around empathy, learning by doing, and co-creation. And we thought to ourselves, hey, you are doing good, and this is something that we also love to do because we are really impacting lives of people that matters and really providing new value for them. So we thought, come, let's test it out and see whether we can work with each other to create a new reality for former inmates.
Okay, explain, what do you mean by former inmates?
Well, these are people who probably have just been released or have been released for a certain time. And I guess they're looking for a new lease of life, an opportunity after their rehabilitation in of course, the prisons. These are people who actually come to us as well in a sense, crying for that equal opportunity of a job, a life, a family, you know, equality among us as Singaporeans.
All right. Is it inmates from across whatever potential crimes they might have committed, or are they specific kinds of inmates? I'm just trying to get a better understanding here.
They actually come across different crimes that they may have committed in the past. But we tend not to look at these past situations, but we really look at them as individuals, as people who are as vulnerable as we are. You know, we like to say this to ourselves, we are as much incarcerated as some of these inmates that we may have faced. What I mean by incarceration, it would probably mean that we are also caught up with our own routines that we may not even know why we are doing what we are doing today. Likewise for them, they are people whom have well rehabilitated, and they may have a certain way of doing things and a certain frame of mind. One of the biggest things is a loss of identity. And I think this is one of our very important points of this 20-day program that you just mentioned a while ago.
Right, okay. Now, we'll talk about the 20-day program in just a second. I just wanted to highlight the fact that every one of us, whether or not it was in perpetration of a crime or not, has made many mistakes in our lives. And for the majority of us, we're lucky that it wasn't a crime and we didn't do time. But we all deserve a second chance.
I love what you just said. It's very true. And you know, these mistakes that we do, sometimes we don't even realize that they are mistakes, and we repeat them again and again in our life, thinking that it is all right and it is our comfort zone, therefore we continue it. But really, the question here is, are we making that life and living that life to the full? Are we really creating that value for the people around us and for ourselves? Or are we just living our days out till we die?
Sure. Now let's talk about that 20-day program that you've created. What have the outcomes of the program been for inmates who have already attended the program? You can tell us that after you tell us about the program.
Okay. This 20-day program was actually co-created together with the founders. Maybe an interesting word of note. The founder himself is also a former inmate. And a lot of the employees within Agape Connecting People, who is also a call center, are also former inmates.
Sure.
And I think the whole intention around this is how might we be able to help provide them the opportunities. So one of the things that Agape has been able to do was to be able to help find employers to provide them jobs. And for us, of course, it is because we are constrained by a 20-day period, in order to really help them to reframe their outlook of life as well as where they can go to in future. So in this 20-day program, our key focus, number one, is rediscovering the identity. You know, this is one of the major things that's lost during that period of rehabilitation. And a lot of them come out as, I don't know who I am, I'm actually quite comfortable in there, and they don't quite see what is out there for them anymore. So one of the things that we try to do is, besides discovering your identity, is also discovering the value that you can offer to the people. So in this period, we talk about your childhood. We talk about things like, what were people appreciating you for? What were you known for? And why did people like you in the days before your incarceration? We try to highlight on these points and bring them out during this course by writing affirmation letters to each other, having them affirm, let's say that, hey, Daryl, I recognize that you are a very cheerful person. You always like to bring new light as well as bring optimism to some of the ideas, you know, things like that. This gives them that sense of, I would call that a backup tool. You know, whenever you might feel down, you have a deck of affirmation letters that your friends have written to you. I think these are some of the things that our learners take away. Of course, beyond that, we also teach them on skill sets that would be useful and productive in the job, in the workplaces that they'll be placed into. Some of them would include hospitality. Yeah, some of them could also include call center and mainly in the service sector. But what's most important about this service sector is human-centeredness. And that is something that we really want to bring it out one more time and tell them that, you know, it's very important to be human-centered. We are not product-centered or very process-centered. We need to realize that the people whom we are serving over the other line or the person that might come to you is also a human. How can we then provide that value?
All right, now let's turn our attention to potential employers. What kind of job placements are available to the former inmates, and how does this program help them fit into a potential placement?
Well, some of these job opportunities would include roles, hospitality roles. Say, for example, the people who clean up residences. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some examples. The others would of course be doing sales. Yeah. They are also a call center. So some of the roles would also include call center jobs.
That's nice.
Mm.
That takes a lot of patience. I don't have it.
Me too. Not easy, definitely.
No.
But imagine the gap that we may need to bridge, given that, you know, it's been some time since you have really had conversations like these and constantly putting your mind in the customer's shoes. It might be quite a bit of a difficulty. That's why we emphasize greatly on this whole human-centeredness and empathy throughout the whole course.
All right, now maybe you can give us some insight into the kinds of problems and preconceived ideas organizations have in considering the hire of former inmates, and what you at DTA do to help on this front.
Well, every employer comes in with the very sincere intent to want to give an opportunity to these people whom have probably made a mistake. And I think all of us recognize the point that we all have made mistakes and everyone deserves the equal chance to just become a better person or for oneself or for the society. I think having said that, it also comes with certain baggages and certain fears, right? Fears of, are they gonna go back to their comfort zone? Are they going to do the same things that they shouldn't be doing? And I think these are the immediate assumptions that some employers tend to have at the very onset. But of course, they tend to give it the benefit of the doubt. So our role in Agape, Connecting People and DTA, is to help to make sure that, you know, we set some understanding of what the program really delivers and what are the kinds of learners that comes out of this program and what kind of attitudes would they now have when they go back to your organization. We also tend to spend a bit of time having to have conversations with the employer, talking about, hey, how do you deal with this particular situation? Maybe the person does not know how to deal with complaints, right? Because you don't get complaints every day in there. Then how do you deal with complaints? They don't know, they might get frustrated. So we also have to educate employers both as well as the learner on how do you manage the expectations of each other. Of course, the main message here is clarity and sincerity and intention. That helps really to align both their differences and mitigate whatever gets in between.
Right. It is an interesting thing, and I do believe that there are some potential employers who have suggested that, mm-hmm. you know, and have hired former inmates that they do have unique problems that the average line managers or HR professionals are not necessarily equipped to handle despite all the best intentions. What are your mm-hmm. thoughts on that?
Well, I think we first need to look at ourselves and take off that lenses of, I would say, differentiating ourselves with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, as we started this conversation, we spoke about us also committing mistakes.
Right.
We may not be punished in the same way, but we are punished in our own ways, right? Losing a deal, losing a friend, losing an opportunity or thought. Let's look at it again as a human, and let's look at helping each other to recognize these are some of our comfort zones that we have, in that sense, unknowingly fallen into and repeat itself because it's comfortable. And with having that lens, we also can start to reflect on ourselves. Do we have such a similar cycle that happens in our own lives? Like, say, for example, over-ordering, right? You know, when you go to a restaurant, you just over-order because there is an abundance. But is that really necessary? You end up with a lot of wastage. You know, you end up spending money that you didn't want to spend. And I think these are ways to help us both, or help employers recognize that we are as much incarcerated as they are. So have we really looked at ourselves first and recognized that we are also in our own vicious cycles?
Right. Okay. Now, I'm wondering on a national level, if you believe that there is enough support that is out there to successfully reintroduce a former inmate into society, or can more be done?
Well, I would think nationally, of course, at the government level, there is a lot of support from various government agencies. But I think at the citizens level, at our level, having put on certain lenses really puts them at a disadvantage. And, you know, some of them can really be brilliant. One of the insights that we kind of discovered was that they are actually very brilliant people. Just that they did something wrong and they got punished for it. But they might be even more brilliant than you and I. Only if we give them that chance to really prove themselves and to help them focus on the value that they truly can deliver, legally, of course, and for the goodness of the customers or for the goodness of the people that they want to care for. So I think support-wise, national level, yes, there is. In terms of people, I think there's still a lot of help, I guess, to help us recognize that we are in the same shoes, lah.
All right, now before we let you go and we run out of time, on a personal level, why does the rehabilitation of former inmates matter to you?
Well, I have, at a personal basis, recognized that I have fallen into my own cycles of these repeated cycles. And I myself look at it as a reminder that my situation is not so bad. And when I share this with the people whom we talk to and we train and you know, it helps us to recognize that, you know, if we just take a step back and we look at what's really happening, we too can start to rethink and create a new reality for us, especially during this time of COVID. Of course, that's a different conversation, but I guess everyone has gone into their comfort zone during this whole period, and some of them might be very uncomfortable during this time because that is not the new reality, perhaps.
I can't say that I disagree with you. I am all for second, third, and even fourth chances to get it right, because we're human and, you know, we're basically wired to not be perfect.
Yeah.
We've been speaking with Daryl Lim, the founder and managing partner of Design Thinkers Academy Singapore. Daryl, thank you for the time and the information.
Thank you very much.
I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. Stay with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.